This is Bernd Strom, the Strommer from SoccerSpecific.com. We'd like to welcome today Jesse Cormier to the Boot Room. He is the head coach at the University of Vermont. Welcome, Jesse.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you. Glad to actually talk with you. I've heard a lot about you here and there, and one of the things I'd love to hear from you is just your background. How did you get into soccer? What kind of led to the point of being the head coach at the University of Vermont today?
Well, I played at the collegiate level here at UVM and went on to actually play in England for a couple of seasons and played professionally over there and also over here in the States. But while I was in England, I was basically involved with the youth team coaching staff as well, which really interested me. And from there, you know, it started to become a passion to coach and develop young guys. And as I went along, I joined Jim DeRose at Bradley as a grad assistant. And he really developed me as a coach and my philosophy on coaching. And it went from there to West Virginia to Oregon State. And over time, I really saw the importance of developing young men by using the game of soccer. And, you know, I felt like that was a real key to their educational experience, was how they were going to perform under pressure and how they were going to train and their habits and all those types of things. So it went from there, and we experienced success at each program, and I was fortunate enough to help develop these guys and experience success. And then when my alma mater offered the head coaching job, I absolutely took it. So it's been a great experience and a great ride, and something I look back with pride.
So you jumped right into your college career. Hey, what was prior to college? How did you even pick going to the University of Vermont in the first place as a player?
Well, when I was a youngster, I spent a lot of time. I lived in upstate New York, and a lot of my playing experience was in southern Vermont, and so I always had ties to Vermont. And during the summers, I used to go to the UVM soccer camps and really got to have a relationship with the head coach, Ron McEachin, at UVM. And as time went on, they became very successful. And, you know, they're all over the news, and it was a big deal. And it's continued to be that way here to date. And, you know, looking at it as a junior in high school, it was really appealing to me to go to a place where soccer is basically the fall sport. And it was a pretty special environment, and I just always wanted to be a part of it, and it was kind of a dream come true. So,
That sounds great. So, similarly, you then went on and coached at a couple of places as an assistant, and so when your alma mater called, they said, "Hey, we'd like you to come." What was that kind of process like for you? You said you instantly snatched it up. Was it a phone call, and you just said, "I'm going," or was it interviews and all that kind of stuff? And were you tense in that process?
I wasn't tense because I felt really prepared for it. I felt ready. I felt ready to be a head coach. And you know, and that's a credit to everybody I've worked for. All the programs I've been at, I felt like I was prepared in all the areas by my mentors. And so when I went in, it was actually a phone interview process where I want to say there were over 125 applicants. And I did a phone interview. I think they narrowed it down to 10. And then they, I think, went to 5 in just an evaluation process. They brought in 5. And I was the last guy they brought in, and I met with 6 different committees during the interviewing process, and I felt like I really connected with each committee, and I was kind of what they were looking for. And I think the biggest connection that I made was with the players, student-athletes. We really had a good meeting, and I understood the difficulties and the challenges that they faced. And, you know, being from this environment and understanding kind of the academic parameters and understanding, you know, how intense this environment is when it comes to soccer, I think we really connected on that level. So it was a great experience overall, and it's something that, again, I take pride in and I value, but I felt like it was a really, really a natural fit from the start.
Now, you talked about University of Vermont, that is it the fall sport? Is there football there now, or is it just soccer?
No, I mean, we had a football program back in the early 60s, I want to say, and maybe even to early 70s. But after that, it pretty much has been soccer in the fall, men's and women's.
So how does that play out there in terms of it being kind of the sport in the fall? How is it different than other places you've been in terms of pressures and kind of the atmosphere?
I've always found it to be a very intense environment, and you know, the media obviously kind of zeroes in on it, and the fans and the community support is pretty impressive out here. I mean, on an average day, you're looking at least 1,000 to maybe 1,500 people at a home game on a weekend. You know, during the midweek when it's a little more difficult, obviously that's a little less. But, you know, overall, it's always, and as success kind of continues and you go into playoffs and you go into NCAA tournaments, that doubles. And the crowds are usually boisterous and loud, and the media, you know, they want to talk to the players and the staff and are very interested in what's going on, because at the end of the day, there isn't football and there isn't really any professional environment to for them to latch onto. So it's kind of a unique situation, and you know, one that I enjoy, and I you know, I relish the opportunity to be a part of.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. How does this transitioning, going back to your days in England and having experienced international soccer as well as the soccer here in the United States, what are some similarities and differences that you can pick out pretty easily?
I felt like in England, I was inspired by the training environment. I thought the training environment was very impressive. Actually, after each training session I had overseas in England, I would document it. I did a lot of writing on it and analyzed each session, and really was impressed with the intensity of the training. And I thought that was a major difference between the two environments. I thought coming back and being in the A-League for a couple of seasons, I was a little disappointed that we didn't have more of a training environment where the demands were higher, expectations were higher. And so there was a little bit of a drop-off, which was a disappointment. And ever since I was in England, you know, as a coach, I try to recreate that feeling and that intensity and that environment that I felt, because during that time, that's probably one of the times where I felt I'd really developed my game and my mentality being over there. Because I remember coming back actually after being over there and playing in the A-League, and I was fouling everybody and you know, really working harder than most, and it was a reflection of where I'd been, and I love that. And I, like I said, I really want that to be kind of a part of my environment that I create as a head coach.
So that obviously had a significant role in your own development as a player and then also as a coach. You talked then about being an assistant in a couple of different places. What were some specific things that you developed in those places that prepared you? Because you talked about moving to Vermont, becoming the head coach, and you said you were ready. What were some of the things that prepared you to be so ready?
Well, Jim DeRose, when I first went to Bradley after coming back from England, was a great mentor, because some of the things he did in terms of defensive pressure, intensity, he was very fiery, very inspiring, in many ways was a great leader. It kind of gave me that avenue, and I saw it and I witnessed it and I was part of it, and he included me in everything. And, you know, his comment to me was, as an assistant, you really should get three different philosophies. And I couldn't agree with him more. I mean, I got a great kind of feel from him in those areas. And then I went to West Virginia and worked for Paul Marco, who's now at Binghamton, who's an incredible coach. He's an incredible tactician, a very good trainer of his teams. And I got some of those things, and I was able to kind of pull some of that great philosophy there. And then I went out to Oregon State and worked with Dana. And, you know, I thought developed a lot of organizational marketing strategies. And also we developed a really good philosophy overall in terms of, you know, how we were going to be known as Oregon State Soccer, where there's a great work ethic and a great mentality and a high-pressure system. And so, you know, at all three places, I was really fortunate, but the key was to be at all three places. places and really be privy to this great information from three great sources and great mentors.
That's interesting. Let's transition from kind of your development to now as the king of the University of Vermont, leading that program. You now have the opportunity to create your own philosophy, your own ethos. When you're looking for players to come into Jesse's program, what are you looking for?
The one thing I look for, you know, obviously there are physical parameters. You know, you want a kid who can get from A to B, but more importantly to me, I want a player that's intelligent, a player that can read the game, a player that is technically sound. But obviously, it's difficult to find a player with all three, but that's what I strive for. I strive to get a player who has everything, you know. And there are areas that I understand are going to need development. And I think every coach needs to understand that you're going to have players in their first year who are deficient in areas, but you want to have somebody that can learn, grow, develop under your guidance and under your direction. And for me, you want a well-rounded guy, a guy that has a passion for training, a guy that loves to learn, a guy that's willing to listen. I mean, if there's one area that I will not recruit and will not waste my time with is poor attitude. And you can kind of get those things figured out early on in the recruiting process in conversation with coaches, in conversation with a kid, in conversation with his family. And you try to really connect and build a relationship there to really figure out, you know, who this person is, and are they really willing to go to bat, and are they in January doing small groups, are they really willing to put the extra effort in to develop their game? And if they are, you know, I think you got a candidate that's going to really produce and someone who's really going to help pull the program along.
So if I'm pretend that I'm a kid, I'm just starting to develop, I'm maybe 12, 13, and wanting to get to that college level, whether it's a small college or Division I like what you have yourself there, what would you say to a kid to propel them to make that dream come true?
Well, I would say that the first thing I'd tell them is, you know, if you have a dream and you have a will and you're willing to work, you've got most of the key ingredients. But don't talk the talk. Walk the walk. You know, you have to be willing to... Anything that you do and you're going to be successful at comes through hard work. And one example I want to use is a player that we had here in he was a senior, and when I came in, actually he was a junior going into his senior year, and when I came in, he was probably 20 to 25 pounds overweight, clearly wasn't ready to compete at a high level, had some things in his game where he was, you know, respected, but certainly wasn't ready to compete and go on to the next level, which was his dream. And we sat down and went through it and basically said, okay, if you really want this, you've got to go to the end of the earth to get it. And literally in 2 months, he lost, I want to say, 18 to 20 pounds. He dropped 5% body fat, was first in the runs, and went into his senior year, had an incredible year, nearly broke the school record, individual scoring record for the year, was completely inspiring for everybody else, was a great leader, team captain, and was actually drafted in the A-League. And nobody could believe it, judging from where he was last year. But it just proves to me that it really depends on the attitude and the willingness to work. And if you're going to do that and you have some abilities, it's not as far from your grasp as you think.
Hey, as you have coached hundreds and hundreds of athletes to date, what would these kids say about you, Jesse? What would kind of be the underlying theme that they would all kind of have as they look back on you being an influence in their life as a coach?
I would hope that they would see the picture of somebody who cares deeply about who they are and where they're going in their lives, more than just as a soccer player. I feel like hopefully the effect that they have or they felt from me has been runs a lot deeper. And, you know, after their playing days are over, you know, if it's college or at the professional level, you know, they've learned valuable lessons through the game and through the way that we've done things, so that they can make decisions as a parent, they can make positive choices in their lives and that type of thing. So I would hope that you know, these hundreds of players would think that they weren't just considered a player; they're considered a person, a young man who actually turned into a man during the process of being around myself and, you know, the staff that I've been a part of.
Hmm. Hey, that brings up kind of caring for people beyond just being players, caring for people's sake. You got some kids. You got a 5-year-old and 1.5-year-old, I believe. And what would your 5-year-old say about you, Jesse?
I would say that my 5-year-old say, in describing me, kind of a joker. Likes to laugh with his kids. Likes to have fun, but at the same time, I think there's a good level of respect. And certainly, I'd say that he would feel really that I cared deeply about him, and there's a lot of love there. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's tough love, but I think that they would feel really good about their dad overall.
Hmm. Hey, in 10 years from now, you're gonna be 10 years further down the road.
Right.
What, where is Jesse gonna be?
Question to answer. You know, I don't know. I just want to keep having an effect on young men and their lives, and we really don't know, I guess, what the future holds. But you know, I think it's just going to keep improving. I think that hopefully I'll continue to have an effect on people's lives, and I'll continue to understand these young guys and lead people to successful lives of their own and have some fun in their lives and look back positively on me as someone that was in their life that really had a positive effect on them.
Yeah. Hey, last question for you.
Sure.
And that is, what steps, what kind of practical things are you doing to keep being on the kind of cutting edge of coaching and soccer in specific?
Well, I try to spend a lot of time with coaches in discussing different topics with coaches, you know, from all levels, from both genders, and continue to kind of educate myself on different ideas and keep an open mind to things. I guess that's a very important thing to me, is to always have an open mind. Even if you experience success, there are still tons of ideas out there, and not to kind of look back and think that you know it all, because you don't. And there are so many great coaches in this country and around the world who have so much to offer. And, you know, there isn't a day that goes by where I'm not listening to what someone else, even in a different sport. I mean, I have a good relationship here with our hockey coach and our basketball coaches, and how they deal with youngsters and in training philosophies. And we have a great strength conditioning coach who was teaching me things yesterday. So always keep an open mind to what people are saying, and certain people specialize in certain things, and they can always offer something, some piece of advice to help you, and never let those opportunities kind of fly by and just start thinking that you know it all.
Hey, it has been a privilege to talk with you, Jesse. I've been able to talk with guys like Brett Simon out in Stanford and Steve Simmons at Northern Illinois University, and then you and a couple others. And I think what a difficult decision it would be to choose where to go to college with such great coaches all around the country, you being one of them, and it's been a privilege. I am Bernd Strom, the Strommer, from SoccerSpecific.com, coming to you from the Boot Room. Thanks again, Jesse, and have a great day.
Thanks, Barrett.
Bye-bye.
Take care.